International Bible Study Commentary, Verse-by-Verse Bible Lessons Through the Bible, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. The Gospel of John, Chapter 13, Verses 1 through 11. Hear now the Word of the Lord from the New Revised Standard Version, John 13, 1 through 11. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." John 13, 1 through 11, Commentary, New Revised Standard Version. John 13, 1. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John did not repeat what the other gospel writers wrote about baptism, the baptism of Jesus, and the Last Supper of Jesus. John revealed a deeper spiritual meaning of baptism and the Last Supper in John chapter 13 and elsewhere. To learn about Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, see Matthew 3:13-17, Mark 1:9-15, and Luke 3:21-22. To learn more about Jesus' Last Supper, see Matthew 26:17-30, Mark 14:22-26, and Luke 22:14-34. In John 12:27, Jesus spoke about the fact that his hour had come. So John reminded his readers that the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the end of his public ministry to the crowds and his private ministry to his disciples was at hand. Jesus was not caught by surprise at what lay ahead of him. Jesus knew that when he died on the cross, that was not the end of him. Rather, he knew he would suffer and die, knew he would rise again, and knew he would ascend into heaven and return to be with his Father. Jesus knew he would depart this world, where he had been treated so cruelly, and where his followers would also be treated cruelly by those who chose the path of darkness. He also knew that he had loved and would continue to love completely throughout all eternity, his own, the children of light, who remained in the world, but were not part of this world. Their assurance of Jesus' continuous love and their experience of Jesus' never-ending love enabled Jesus' first disciples, and all who have followed Jesus since then, to suffer cruelly in Jesus' name from those of this world. The assurance of Jesus' continued presence with them through the Holy Spirit the Advocate, that Jesus will teach about in John chapter 14, enables believers in Jesus to witness for him with courage and faith as he leads. John 13:2. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, in John 12:6, we learned that Judas was a thief who stole from the common purse. Because Judas did not repent and ask Jesus to change his way of life and help him leave the path of darkness and come into the light, Judas went from bad to worse. Remember the man Jesus healed who had been ill for 38 years. In John 5:14, when Jesus saw him later in the temple, he warned him, "Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." Judas knew Jesus' words and saw his works, so Judas knew about the possibility of going from bad to worse if he continued to disobey God. From continuing to sin, Judas opened his heart to the work and the temptations of the devil, and the devil put the betrayal of Jesus for money into Judas' heart. Notice, Judas was present during the Last Supper, and Jesus also washed Judas' feet as an act of the deepest humility in loving obedience to his Father and love for his disciples. But Jesus washing Judas' feet had no spiritual effect on the one committed to betraying Jesus. John 13:3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus did not engage in this remarkable act of love, grace, and humility to earn acceptance from his Father or to gain privileges and powers that he did not already possess. Jesus knew all things, indeed all creation, and all that existed had been given to him before he washed his disciples' feet or died on the cross. In Matthew 28:18, prior to his ascension into heaven, we read, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority belongs to Jesus and was given to him by the Father from the beginning. As the Word from eternity past, we read of in John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Having come from God, Jesus did not minister as he did to earn the right to go to God. Everything Jesus did, he did as an act of pure, unselfish, self-giving love for his own, for his children of light. Jesus' acts of redeeming love show what he will do for all who believe in him, as recorded in the Bible. Jesus' suffering and death reveal the most remarkable acts of grace, humility, and love that the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of the world, could perform. Jesus suffered and died for sinners and rebels, who by grace through faith in him would receive eternal life from him and enter the kingdom of God because of his sacrificial death and resurrection. John 13:4. Got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Before a supper or important feast, those attending would usually bathe. Since Jews walked in sandals or on bare feet, their feet would naturally get dirty. At the table where they ate, they would recline near enough to others so they could easily pass food to one another. For example, Jesus passed food to Judas. So they washed their feet at the door, for the host provided a slave to wash the feet of his guests, or he washed their feet himself. Remember John 12:1-8. Out of love for Jesus, and with the deepest humility, Mary anointed Jesus' feet with a perfumed ointment and dried them with her hair. Out of love, and with the deepest humility, Jesus took off his outer garment and took the place of the lowest slave to wash his disciples' feet. It seems that before supper none of his disciples had washed their own feet or the feet of the others, so they were eating with unclean feet during the supper, something Jesus noticed. In Luke 22, verses 24 through 28, we learn why they may have been eating with unclean feet. During supper, they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest, and in that context, none of them would wash the feet of anyone else. Each one thought he was better than the others. So Jesus told them, "I am among you as one who serves." Notice, Jesus got up from the table and interrupted his eating and teaching to demonstrate some lessons his disciples needed. He prepared himself to wash their feet, something none of them were prepared to do, offered to do, or wanted to do. Thinking themselves important as Jesus' disciples, they never thought of doing such a menial and degrading task. So, Jesus got up and prepared himself to serve them as the lowest slave in the household. John 13:5. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. Beyond the physical description and washing of his disciples' feet, Jesus intended to provide a spiritual application and teach by example, as we have seen him do previously in the Gospel of John and the other Gospels. John 13:6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" We do not know if Simon Peter was the first disciple to have his feet washed by Jesus. But when Jesus came to Peter, Peter spoke with astonishment and expressed his intention that Jesus would never wash his feet. Because Peter honored Jesus as his Lord and Master, he did not want Jesus to humble himself and wash his feet, the feet of a sinner. John 13:7. Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." In answer to Peter, Jesus made a universal statement that would apply to everything he said and did in the past and would do in the future. The truth also applies to those who read and study the Bible. Many times, students of the Bible have not been able to understand what they have read until later. We will not understand some truths in the Bible until we learn other or additional truths. Jesus' disciples would not understand some of what Jesus did and taught till after he died, rose from the dead, and gave them the Holy Spirit to help them. Today, believers in Jesus will not understand some truths in the Bible until the Holy Spirit, who indwells them, gives them the light of understanding. We will not understand some truths completely until we choose to believe them without needing to be given a full measure of understanding. We must wait further for understanding as we trust that God will teach us what we need to know when the time is right. Other truths will not be understood until believers obey or practice the truths they already know from their study of the Bible. Believing the Bible is true and obeying Jesus according to the truths we already know are essential to learning and understanding more truths. John 13:8. Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Knowing Jesus was too good to wash his feet because he was a sinner, Peter objected and told Jesus that he would never let him wash his feet. Jesus replied that if he did not wash Peter, if Peter would not obey him and let him wash his feet, then Peter could not have any relationship with him. Peter's refusal to obey Jesus would have meant the end of his discipleship and friendship with Jesus and the other disciples. We can begin to understand Jesus' teaching about baptism in the Gospel of John with Jesus' words, "Unless I wash you." Believers in Jesus choose to obey Jesus' command and receive baptism. When being baptized, they show they have totally committed themselves to obeying Jesus in all things, and they have set themselves apart from this world to follow Jesus. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, baptism serves as a sign or symbol that Jesus has cleansed those who believe in him from all unrighteousness, and he has set them apart as one of his own, as children of light. Baptism does not cleanse believers. Baptism shows that believers in Jesus have accepted what Jesus has done for them. John taught more about how the believer is cleansed from sin in 1 John 1, 5-10. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." John 13:9. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Not yet fully understanding, Peter understood in spirit what Jesus meant. So Peter declared that he wanted to share everything with Jesus. He wanted to remain a disciple of Jesus, a servant of Jesus, and a friend of Jesus. He wanted Jesus to clean his feet so he could follow Jesus wherever Jesus led. He wanted Jesus to clean his hands so he could do whatever Jesus wanted. He wanted Jesus to clean his head so all his thoughts would be pure and all his choices would be according to the will of Jesus. John 13:10. Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." Jesus replied that Peter had bathed or had been baptized. Peter had submitted to baptism, even as all of John's and Jesus' followers had repented of their sins and had submitted to baptism. Peter understood Jesus, for later, on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 38-39, Peter told those who had believed the good news about Jesus, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." Peter did not need to be baptized or washed again. Having been baptized in accordance with the command of Jesus, Peter would soon be cleansed of all sin as Jesus intended, after Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross. Looking forward to his death on the cross and its significance for all his true followers, by his word, Jesus cleansed Peter and told Peter that he was clean. Before Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for his disciples, Jesus told them in John chapter 15, verse 3, "You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you." Peter only needed to have his feet cleansed, for the shed blood of Jesus cleansed him completely, and would also keep his feet clean. As believers in Jesus walk in this world, their feet get dirty, that is, they still commit sins from day to day. Believers in Jesus are not yet perfect in thought, word, and deed. When believers sin, they need to go to Jesus, repent of their sins, ask Jesus to cleanse them from their sins, and accept Jesus' total cleansing of their sins, because he shed his blood and died and rose again for them. Each day, believers need to accept Jesus' offer to cleanse them from their sins of that day, and humbly ask Jesus to help them keep clean. Each time we sin, Jesus humbles himself again and again when he cleanses us from all sin. For Jesus loves us, his own, and Jesus will love us completely throughout eternity. Receiving baptism is a public sign of true faith in Jesus. It is not a once and for all cleansing from sin. Only the shed blood and sacrificial death of Jesus, not baptismal water, can cleanse anyone from all sin. Judas had been baptized, but he was not cleansed from all sin. Judas never believed in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and Judas never turned from practicing sin. Judas would not allow himself to be cleansed by the words of Jesus, nor would he obey the words of Jesus that he heard spoken to him, the other disciples, and the crowds. When Jesus preached, Judas remained unclean. The celebration of the sacrament, or the ordinance of the Last Supper, also called the Lord's Supper, Communion, and the Eucharist, reminds the followers of Jesus to clean their dirty feet again. They humbly and prayerfully ask Jesus to wash their feet once again as they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. When believers partake of the Lord's Supper, they remember once again that Jesus suffered, shed his blood, and died on the cross in their behalf. As the Savior of the world, Jesus sacrificed his life for the forgiveness of sins. As believers have learned and experienced, even as children of light in this world, they still sometimes commit sins. While celebrating the Eucharist, believers can confess their sins, repent of their sins, and receive the assurance of God's forgiveness through his written word. During communion, believers can remember once again these words of assurance in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 13:11. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. After 3 years of ministry with Jesus, and despite all his advantages from being with Jesus personally, Judas continued walking in darkness as he accompanied the light of the world. Jesus knew Judas as he knew what was in everyone. Judas never deceived Jesus as to the type of person he was and that he would eventually betray Jesus. For these reasons, Jesus knew and could tell his disciples as they ate together that not all of them were clean. We only understand these things because we know the rest of the story about Jesus and prayerfully look forward to understanding more. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. What two things did Jesus look forward to in the hour that had come? 2. How much does Jesus love his own? What does that mean to you? 3. What did Jesus know about the Father? 4. What can we learn about understanding the truths of God? 5. What did Peter want? What did Jesus say Peter and everyone needs? International Bible Lesson: Assurances for All Who Are His Own. John 13:1. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew when the time had come for him to die and go back to his Father, who had sent him into the world, and he also knew how he would die. But rather than think about himself, Jesus loved and primarily thought about the disciples he would leave behind in this world. He would love them to the end. So he did not waste a moment when he could be teaching them more about himself and the future he planned for them and for all who would follow him because of their preaching and teaching. Even as Jesus hanged dying on the cross, he loved people so much that he kept teaching with every word he spoke. Jesus' truthful teaching gave his disciples a foundation upon which to live until they too departed to go to the Father. But notice how Jesus thinks of those who follow him and be encouraged. Jesus calls his own those who believe in him as Lord and Savior. Think of all it means to be his own. Think about Jesus loving you every moment of the day until the end, and then he keeps on loving you to the end of eternity, which can never end. But there is more. In John 13:3, we learn that the Father gave all things to Jesus. Therefore, believers know Jesus has all things available to meet their every need forever. And because Jesus loves us, he will always use all things wisely to do what is best for us. Copyright 2020 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. All rights reserved. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.